And now we're going to welcome up Corey, who is our speaker today. All right, so you guys could just stretch your hands out to Corey. It's always amazing and definitely pricks your heart when he's up here giving us wisdom. So, Lord, we just thank you for Corey. We just thank you for his words today, Lord, that they pierce our hearts, Lord, and that we are just so thankful that iron sharpens iron, and the power and the favor and the fire that's going to be on the message today, we're just so grateful and thankful that it comes forth through him. We just pray blessing over him and his whole family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Check, check. All right. Good morning. Good morning. How you guys doing? Good, good, good. Today is going to be a lot of fun. And I know that that was a very, that was like a very intimate worship time. I was having so much fun over here worshiping. My sermon will probably have a slightly different tone than that. If you've ever been to one of my sermons before or heard me preach, you'll know that I get excited from time to time. I'm a passionate individual. And so just get ready for that. It's going to be a little bit of a tone shift. And so, all right, you guys are with me. So, yeah. So we're going to go there. I am excited to continue the series that we've been in for the past couple weeks. I think it's been a bit of an informal series. We didn't necessarily plan for it. But we got through the Easter season, and we talked about the resurrection on Easter Sunday. But then the Lord began to highlight the end of Matthew 28. It comes right after the resurrection. And it's something called the Great Commission. And it's the final moments where Jesus was with his disciples before he ascended to heaven. And he gave them some final instructions, some final words, and a really significant commandment that would end up defining the entire future of their lives. Each of their individual lives would be marked and ultimately defined by what Jesus would say in these verses. But it ended up also setting the trajectory of the church. It's the reason that the church was born. It's the reason that the church has existed for the past 2,000 years. And it is the vision and mission of the church that he gave to us. And so it's called the Great Commission. And so if you've been here over the past 2 weeks, you've heard us talking about this. It's where Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Yeah, so all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, says Jesus, not me, Corey, right? And he says, so go. He looks at his disciples. He says, go into all nations, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I will be with you always, even until, oh, whoa, the end of the age. I got glass sitting right under my feet. Here we go. Let me move these out a little bit. Okay. So it's the Great Commission. And so today we're going to continue to talk about the Great Commission. And today I want to be maybe a little bit different than how I would normally bring the word. If any of you know me, you know that I love to study and I love to teach. I'm a teacher at heart. If we could like get in a small classroom with a whiteboard and you would give me like 3 hours to just make like endless crazy whiteboard, you know, like that would be my favorite thing in the whole world. I love to teach. I'm a teacher at heart. I get to serve with our youth. Our youth know that every week pretty much there's a whiteboard, and by the end of the time it's just like insanity of all the things we've talked about. And so that's my favorite. I love just to dive into the word. But today's going to be a little bit less about teaching. And today I'm going to do a couple things. One is I'm going to tell some stories. So there's going to be some storytelling today. So for those of you who are like story fans, today will be that. But then also at the end, and this is a little bit of a bold thing to say, but I endeavor to prophesy at the end of our time together today. I have been waiting on the Lord. And for months, I've been asking the Lord about certain things about our community. And I feel that perhaps, and you can test it and see, but I feel perhaps he's whispered some things to me about us, about our church, about our community, about what he's doing here, about what he's going to do here, about some things that he has for us in the future. And so I know that's kind of a bold word, and for some people, maybe it's a little bit of a spooky word. But I endeavor to prophesy at the end of our time together. I think the Lord has a word for us. And I know that the word of the Lord has the ability to catalyze new action within the church, right? He says that when a word goes forth from his mouth, not from my mouth, not from your mouth, but when a word comes forth from his mouth, that it does not return void, right? As the rain comes down and waters the earth, and new things spring up. So is the word of the Lord. Right? It says that the word of the Lord causes the deer to give birth. It's a really weird verse. You're like, what? That's the science of it. If you ever wondered how deers get pregnant and give birth, it's through the word of the Lord, right? But here's the concept. The word of the Lord causes things that did not exist to exist. The word of the Lord causes things that have not been brought forth to be brought forth. The word of the Lord has a catalytic energy to it, a creative spirit behind it, right? That in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And the Bible informs us that when the word of the Lord went forth, suddenly there was light, right? He called things that were not as though they were, and suddenly they were. And part of the job of the church is to prophesy the future into existence, that we are to be those who lean our ear to heaven and we say, God, what is your spirit saying to the churches? And when we hear, we open our mouths and we agree with heaven and we say on the earth what he's saying in heaven, and suddenly things break open and it begins to happen. And do you know that that's what prayer is? Prayer is simply agreeing on the earth with what's already being said in heaven. You turn your ear to the throne room, you listen for a little bit, you hear something, and then you begin to say down here what they're already saying up there. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The reality is that there is a disruption between heaven and earth, that the things that are already willed in heaven have not been manifested on the earth, and it's the responsibility of a prophetic church to rise up, lift their voice in partnership with God, and believe that he will do here what he wants to do there. Can I get an amen? I told you it'd be a slightly different tone. We're just getting going. And so today, we are going to endeavor to prophesy. I believe there's some things the Lord wants to speak over our house at the end. And I hope that you'll be up for that. And if not, I'll let you, when the band comes up, that's when it's going to start. So you can just walk right out. So that's not your thing. So just giving you a hit the eject button if you need to. That's where we're going today. Cool? You guys ready? All right. But first, I want to tell you guys a couple things that just happened. We took a mission trip down to San Pedro Sula, Honduras. You can go to the next slide. And I just want to show you guys a couple pictures from our mission trip. That's okay. Just for a moment, I'm just going to be like a proud little youth papa here in the room. Like, we took some of our youth down to Honduras on a mission trip. And these guys were absolutely phenomenal. I wish that you could have seen them preaching the gospel, loving on kids, serving in the churches, trying new foods. These guys were incredible. And I just want to show you a couple of things that we did, because many of you in this place gave financially to these young people. They were support raising over the past couple of months. They're doing their bake sales and their brownies and all their wildness out here. And you guys gave with truly phenomenal generosity. I think we raised probably anywhere between $10,000 to $12,000 for this to happen. And yes, thank you. Thank you for your $12,000. We'll take more in the coming months. But you guys opened up your wallets. You opened up your hearts. You gave to these young people. You believed in them. You believed that 14-year-olds and 16-year-olds and 18-year-olds should get on planes, and that God has chosen them to expand his kingdom, and that we should not despise their youth. Anyone heard that verse before? That we should not despise their youth because they have the ability to be an example to the believers in faith and purity and conduct, and in their boldness in the gospel. And so these young people got on planes. They went down. I want to show you our team. This is San Pedro Sula. You can see it in the background. Here's our little team. In the back of a truck, perfectly legal and safe. Don't worry about that. Next picture, we've got us at a waterfall that we ziplined over, also completely safe. And then right here, back it up. All right, and then here you got us in front of, we're in the city center of San Pedro Sula. You can see us in front of this big sign taking a picture. We got to take these youth down, and then we also merged with a team that went down from Troy Christian, which is just a little bit north of us in the next city. And every year they do what's called an ESM week. It's Enrichment, Service, and Missions. And there was about 25 students from Troy Christian who were down there at the same time as us. And we got to merge together over the weekend and do a bunch of ministry. And so if we go to the next slide, I just want to show you a couple cool things that we did. There was one day where we went to a local neighborhood. It's a low-income neighborhood. It's what they call a slum. I don't mean that in any derogatory way. That's just the common word for it. And so we got to go through the slums, and we took this truck, And nobody would want this to happen in their neighborhood in America, but they really liked it in Honduras. We had these massive speakers on the back of the truck, and the speakers were just like blaring like music. And this announcement, we were having a crusade that night in one of the local parks, and it was inviting everyone to come. It was like, tonight at 7 p.m., we are having a, this is in Spanish, so I don't, but I couldn't say it in Spanish. But over and over again, it was playing music, and it's making this announcement that we're going to have a crusade, and we're riding through these neighborhoods. And as the music's blaring and the announcement's going, all these people would kind of follow the truck as it went. We have this like parade of Americans, and so that's, of course, fascinating to people. Like, what are all these white people doing in our neighborhood, you know? And so they would gather around the truck, and what we did is we would just like kind of park at an intersection, and then we would take some of these young people, and we'd be like, you, get in the back of the truck, grab the microphone, preach the gospel. And they'd be like, all right, God loves you, you know, and they're up there preaching the gospel. And these guys, man, these guys were fire. Young people can preach the gospel. Young people can preach the gospel, right? If you're old enough to understand the gospel, if you're old enough to receive the gospel, then you're old enough to preach the gospel, okay? And so these guys... And right here, you can see Emily. This is our own. Oh, back it up, back it up, back it up. See her in the back of the truck right here. This is Emily Miranda on the mic, spitting fire. Let's go. And she shared a testimony of a healing that happened in her body a few years ago. And she asked anyone that was sick if they wanted to get prayer for healing. And we got to minister to the sick. Let's go to the next slide. Here you can see we took the entire team to the field where we were going to do the crusade. You can see the stage up in the background. It's kind of like church on the lawn on steroids. And we got in a big circle, and we had this beautiful time of worshiping in English, worshiping in Spanish, praying over the field, the crusade, the neighborhoods, all of the people that were going to come. And the two teams joined together in unity. There's our little guy, Zachary. What a boss. And he's there praying his little heart out. Zachary had a dream that he wanted to start stepping out and being on worship teams. He has a wonderful voice. Some of you might not know this about Zachary. He has a wonderful voice. He's fantastic at harmonies. But that's, you know, it's been a little bit of a stretch for him to find the courage to step into that. And on this trip, he was like, I want to sing. I want to lift my voice. And so all the entire week, Zachary was on different worship sets, and he was uplifting his voice, and it's been incredible. And since we've been back, this last week at youth, the team led worship for all of us, and Zachary was up in front lifting his voice. And so just want to brag on him for a second. We can go to the next picture. Here's us praying before the crusade. Here's as the crusade is starting to fill. We had thousands of people that filled this field and that came to worship and to encounter the Lord. We can do the next photo. Here's our entire joint team, the people from Upper Room, the people from Troy Christian together. This is the end of the crusade, so it's kind of clearing out. They had a raffle at the end where they're giving away bikes and soccer balls. So you see everyone kind of gathered to the right. They're all hoping that they'll be the name. They're like, please, I want the bike. And so they were giving away bikes and soccer balls and having fun. But this is our crew. After an amazing night, we were there for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 hours with the crusade rolling and people getting saved, healed, delivered, starting to dream with the Lord about their future, finding their purpose. It was off the charts. So we can go to the next slide. A couple more pictures. I got to show you this announcement. This is Nathan Rowe on an official publication. Look at that guy. Revivalist Nathan with his arm outstretched. Look at him. And he's that night he was one of our speakers at the youth service. They put me on there, but I wasn't actually one of the speakers. Morgan shared her testimony, and we had this crazy time of ministry for all the women in the church. And women weeping, laying hands on one another, gathering in groups of twos and threes. I mean, it was just off the charts. And so here's some of the work that we did. You can look at that. Let's go to the final slide. You guys know that on mission trips, of course, there's the impact that happens through the team. And it's a real impact. It's a beautiful impact. But any of us who have been in the missions world know that the biggest thing that happens on mission trips is usually in the hearts of the people who go. And go back one. Just to see our young people lost in worship, giving themselves in prayer for the nation, stepping out, doing things they've never done before. This is probably my favorite. I love Honduras, and I love the waterfall, and I love all the things we did. But it's this picture, these intimate times that we have with the Lord together that really captures the trip for me. And so we can just go to the final slide here. I just want to say thank you to all of you who gave and who enabled this to happen. So can we just get a round of applause for our church, for the givers, for the intercessors, for the youth. Thank you for letting us have this opportunity. And so this is going to bring us into what we're talking about today. Like I said, I want to continue talking about the Great Commission. And so that means that I want to continue talking about missions. And this is one part of missions. this short-term teams that gather and that go. But there's a lot more to missions. There's an entire movement that's happening all around the world. It's not an American movement. It's a global movement. That the gospel is going forth, right? Every day, there are people who are getting on planes and boats and cars and walking and hiking and trekking through the Himalayas and all kinds of wildness. There are people, there's a whole movement. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of people who are working tirelessly to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. These are people who are deeply convinced that Jesus should be known and loved in every place. That it's not enough for his worship to rise in Tip City, Ohio, but that his worship is supposed to arise from Jerusalem, that it's supposed to arise from Iran, that it's supposed to arise from Hong Kong, that it's supposed to arise from Cuba, that it's supposed to arise from North Korea, that there's no place where Jesus ought not be worshipped. It's what Malachi 1:11 says, that from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, my name will be made great amongst the nations, and that incense, which is worship, would rise before him. The Lord has ordained praise from the nations, right? We see in the book of Revelation that in the very end, there will be representatives from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation that will gather around the throne to worship the Lamb. And they will say to him, you are worthy, O Lord, because you've purchased men by your blood. There was a movement a couple hundred years ago. It's called the Moravian Missions Movement. And the Moravians would get on boats at a time where it was very difficult to travel internationally, very dangerous. Most of them lost their lives in a short span of time. And as they would get on their boats to sail into the unreached and unknown lands, as fathers and their kids were separating, as families were being pulled apart, they would cry to one another, the missionaries on the ships, knowing they'd probably never come home. Many of them would end up buried on foreign soil, and they'd yell from the ships, may the Lamb receive the reward of his sufferings. And the fathers and mothers that were giving their children to the movement, the brothers that were saying goodbye to siblings, the love, many who were betrothed, they had a crush back home, they had a boo, and they were waving goodbye to her from the ship, and they were giving them to a life. And then the people who were on the shore would lift their voices and cry back, may the Lamb receive the reward of his suffering. I want to talk about the missions movement today. And I want to talk about these great and noble missionaries who in the bottom of their heart is this cry, may the Lamb receive the reward of his sufferings, that Jesus purchased the nations on the cross. It's what it says in Psalm 2, which is a dialogue between the Father and the Son in heaven. And he says, ask of me, Jesus, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. The ends of the earth is your possession. It's what the psalmist cries, David prophesying in the spirit. He says, let all the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. It's what Isaiah saw in Isaiah 42 when he said there will be a new song that will be sung, and that it will rise from the nations, from the islands, from the deserts, from the coastlands, from the hardest people groups in the world. There will be a song that will arise. Worthy are you, O Lord. By your blood, you've redeemed us and purchased us back to God. Oh, we can just go back. We're not quite there yet. We can just go back and start. I appreciate the eagerness, though. I'm feeling excited, too, so I'm with you. I want to talk to you guys about missions today. And I don't want you to check out if you don't feel that being a full-time missionary is your primary occupation or your primary calling. I love one author said it this way. The mission of the church is missions. It's so simple, but I just want you to understand this. The mission of the church is missions. If you are part of the church, then you are part of the vision of the church. Then you are part of the mission of the church. And the mission of the church is missions. It's what Jesus himself said. I came to seek and save that which is lost. Why are you here? I came to seek and save what is lost. It's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. And it's not the saved that need the gospel, though we do need to remind ourselves from time to time, lest we forget the beautiful truths therein. But it's not the saved that need the gospel. Who needs the gospel? The lost. Which makes it ironic that sometimes we stand on stages every week preaching the gospel to saved people. Right? You don't take a net and sweep it across the deck of a boat to try to catch caught fish. You take a net and you cast it into the ocean, into the deep places, into the dark places, because that's where the fish are that need to be caught. And I want to say that Upper Room is a church on mission. Our vision is to worship, grow, and go. And all of our worshiping is begetting going. And all of our growing is unto going. And we never stop worshiping. We never stop growing. But we got to start going. We have not lived out our vision, and we're not doing our mission if we do not go forth into the nations, both here and abroad, with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you. This is what we do, and sometimes we get confused in America about what we do, all right? Listen, I worked at Chick-fil-A one day. If there's not a drive-thru that's moving cards and handing out chicken sandwiches, it is not a Chick-fil-A, okay? Right? If there is a church that's not sending forth missionaries to preach the gospel, it is not a church that's doing what Jesus Christ ordained for the church. We have a vision, we have a mission, and our identity is integrally connected to us fulfilling the command that our Lord has given to us. And if we don't do it, then we are not what we say we are. It's fraudulent for the church to not do the Great Commission, because it's ours to do. And it's the thing that makes us who we are. Okay. You guys doing okay? All right. I might say even harder things than that as we keep going. So I hope that you just roll with me. I love you. I really like you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling around you to get you excited about what the Lord's doing in the earth. Okay. So like, why, you know, I really like you guys. And I'm really fun to hang out with, but I am going to get really intense about a couple things. So just know that I like to party. Okay. So I want to hang out. If you have a hot tub, I'll come over. I would love to get into it. But I'm also really passionate about the lost being saved. Is that okay? Okay. I want to tell you a story about something that happened in not too distant history. In the 1800s, the very end of the 1800s, about 1870, 1880, 1890, there was a movement called the Student Volunteer Movement. If you've ever heard of the Student Volunteer Movement, go ahead and give me a wave. All right, solid, two people, cool. All right, so I'm about to educate every single one of you about the Student Volunteer Movement, okay? So there was a movement called the Student Volunteer Movement. And the movement began when a group of wild-eyed young people asked a daring question. And we're going to go back to that very first quote. Nope, back it up. Yes, they asked this daring question. What if we finished the Great Commission in our generation? I mean, you guys know that the Great Commission is going to be completed in a generation. Like, if you believe in it, then you believe that there's going to be a day where it actually happens. Like, maybe you've never thought about it, right? Just because it's been a long time and 2,000 years and the church has been expanding and maybe this thing is going to go on forever. Listen to me. It is not going to go on forever. There is a day appointed for the Son of Man to rip the heavens open and to descend upon the earth, where he will rule and reign forever and ever. And of his increase in government and peace, there will be no end. It is prophesied and promised that our Jesus is coming back. But what he said in Matthew 24 is that he was not going to come back until this gospel of the kingdom had been preached to all nations and to all peoples. He said it's after that, then the end will come. About 100 years ago, there was a preacher who said, why are we always talking about the second coming and not about the half of the world that has never even heard about his first coming? He said, when you get done telling them about my first coming, I will inaugurate my second coming. Right? Come on. Right? It's what I've said before. You guys have heard me say it. We're always like, come, Lord Jesus, come. He's saying, go, church, go. Get out there and go do it. And I'm not going to come, Lord Jesus, come until you go, church, go. That's the deal. And he has sealed it in prophecy in the word of God. And he will not violate his word. He's not a man that he would lie. Amen? And so he has committed that he's going to do it. And so this question began to burn in the heart of a generation. They began to talk about it at prayer meetings. There was one famous one that happened under a haystack in the middle of a lightning storm. You should go read about it. Haystack prayer meeting. right? And they begin to say, what if we were the generation that finished the Great Commission? What if we were the generation that evangelized the entire world? Could it be done? And they begin to think about it in a way that really nobody else in history had thought about it. They began to strategize. They began to research. They began to talk. And this conversation began to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And people began to jump on horses, and they began to ride to different churches, and they began to say, what if we could finish the Great Commission in our generation? And their famous motto was, we can if we will. We can do it if we will do it, right? And you can go to the next slide here. This is one of these preachers that were traveling around. They would say this, Robert Speer, who was a famous student volunteer movement leader, he said, there is nothing in the world or the church except the church's disobedience to render the evangelization of the world in this generation an impossibility. I didn't say it. Robert Speer said it, okay? He said that the only thing that was standing in the way of the evangelization of the world in a single generation was what? The church's disobedience. That the church was not taking seriously the Great Commission, right? What if we finished the Great Commission in our generation? Let's go ahead and go to the next slide after that. This is from Hudson Taylor, one of the famous early missionaries who went to China. He said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. Can we get an amen to that? Can you just sync up your heart with that and just say, I agree with that, right? I agree with that. The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. And so they began to ride around America, and then they began to ride around the world to all kinds of different nations in Europe and in other places, and they began to preach this message. It's time to go. It's time to go. And unlike at any other time in history, there was a massive response, right? In fact, there was, I don't have the quote up here, but there was a commencement speech from the president of Princeton University, I think it was right around the year 1900, where he said, he begins talking in his commencement speech about this movement, and he said, no greater offering of young people has been seen in all of America's great history. It's the president of Princeton University. He said, I've seen doctors, and he starts going through the list, I've seen doctors and scientists and who have forsaken everything to go to far-flung nations to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That even the world took notice of this movement, that people were leaving all behind to go for Jesus. Over the course of about 3 or 4 decades, 20,000 missionaries were sent. 20,000 missionaries were sent. That was the largest sending of missionaries that has ever happened in human history. We don't have the exact stats from the early church. It'd be the only thing that could possibly compare. It was the largest missionary sending in all of human history. And most of the nations that we now know have thriving churches are because of this missions movement. When we think about Central America, South America, Sub-Saharan Africa, the Pacific Islands, Southeast Asia, China, India, right? I could go down the list. The reason that the gospel is in these places, the reason that there's a thriving South Korean church, the reason that there's a thriving Brazilian church, the reason that you can get on planes and you can go to people and the people are lifting their hands to Jesus, whoever he is in these, is because these wild-eyed young people dared to ask this question. What if we finish the Great Commission in our generation? And they stopped making excuses. They recognized that it was a commandment, not a consideration, and they began to go. You guys with me? I just want to show you a couple more things from this. We can go to the next slide. This is a quote from a guy named Francis Xavier. I love it. He said, tell the students to give up their small ambitions and come eastward to preach the gospel of Christ. These guys were radical. This is the type of language they use. I want to show you one more from Hudson Taylor. This one, this one touched my heart. It says, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all for China. Hudson Taylor was one of the smartest young men in his generation. Hudson Taylor could have been anything. He was educated. He was brilliant. He was connected. He had every door of opportunity available to him at that time in England. And he forsook all of that to go to the Chinese people. And this is what he said. If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all for China. How does this miracle happen? How does a young person who has every opportunity on their horizon decide that they want to give it all up to go for Jesus Christ? It's a question that I've been asking in the secret place before the Lord. How? How does it happen to a young person, right? Imagine a young person who gets a full ride scholarship to go play football or to go play baseball. Imagine a young person who's in their doctoral studies, right? They're about to attain their degree. Imagine a young person who's great with technology and they're getting recruited out to the new tech start in Silicon Valley. And something happens in their heart where they say, I don't want that. But I want to go preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if something inside of you rises up and says, what a waste. I remember when we were recruiting missionaries 10 years ago, the greatest obstacle to missionaries growing to the field was Christian parents who said to them, why are you going to waste your life? Nate Saint, who was a martyr, along with Jim Elliot, said this: everyone is wasting their life on something. But when the bubble of this life pops, many will realize that they wasted their life on nothing. Another quote of his is, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Everyone is going to give their lives for something. Some people are going to give it to things that are worthless, and some people are going to give it to things that are worthwhile. Some people are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And some people are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. I never knew you. And I'm not saying that the delineating line is whether you become a missionary or not. Please don't hear me wrong. What I'm saying is that a life lived for Christ is never a waste. A life lived in total abandonment to Jesus Christ, fully poured out, is never a waste. It's never foolishness. And even though the world points and ridicules and says, why would you do that for Jesus? All of heaven stands to their feet. The great crowd of witnesses says, go, church, go. Give your life for the Lamb. If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all for China. When I was a young man, the Lord marked my heart for Morocco, Mauritania, and Mali. You might not even know those three nations, and that's okay. But when I was 14 years old, the Lord met me in my bedroom. I was smart. I was good at sports. I was ambitious. And the Lord said, Corey, I want you to give your life for something different than what you're dreaming. I remember the day when I got on my knees in my bedroom weeping on the floor and I said, Lord, I give you the American dream. If you'll give me the opportunity to preach the gospel, just give me a chance to preach your gospel. And I could say with Hudson Taylor, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them for Morocco. If I had 1,000 lives, I would give them to serve the nations of the earth. Someone has to go. Not everyone, but there's got to be a few who go. Are you guys still with me? These leaders begin to inspire their generation. And the generation rose up and they began to go. And ever since that time, there's been a vibrant, thriving missions movement. We've seen more acceleration in the gospel in the last 140 years than in all of history combined. But there are still 2.3 billion people who have never heard the name of Jesus on our planet. I said B billion. 2.3 billion people who have not heard the beautiful name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ our Lord. But they don't know that. And Paul asked the questions in Romans, how will they know that? How will they believe unless they hear? And how will they hear unless someone goes and tells them? And how will someone go and tell them unless they are sent? There's a critical need for missionaries to be sent out for those to hear who have never heard. These leaders went around and they didn't just say go, they said come. Many of them were a couple months out from getting on boats. And they would say, we're about to leave. Pack your bags. Come with us. And a movement started. I want to go to the next slide. This is going to take us in the next part of what we're going to talk about. I love this quote. It says, the mark of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. If you got spooked about the prophecy part, this is the time to run for the doors. And band, you can come to the front. Someone's going to just go to the bathroom and everyone's going to think that they're scared of prophecy. Sorry if I did that to you. Some of you are like, I've been holding it the whole time, Corey. Really? You're going to say that right now? Can I speak a couple of things over our house? Okay. Here's what I want to say. I believe that God is raising up a new student volunteer movement. I believe that what he did at the end of the 1800s and what he did at the start of the 1900s, he is currently doing. There was a missions movement that exploded at the end of the 1900s. And there is a missions movement that is currently right now churning out a great number of workers into the field to preach the gospel. It's not just coming from America or Europe anymore, but there's missionaries that are being sent from everywhere to everywhere. It is truly a global missions movement. This has never been seen in all of history. This is the very first time that it's happening, that people are being sent from everywhere to everywhere. A global effort to get the job done. Does anyone else want to get the job done? Yeah. Right? Some of you people out there who are like, I'm talking to my workhorses out there. When someone gives you a task to do, you're going to get it done. And you're going to do it right. Right? That's what we need, is people who are dedicated to this thing. I want to get the job done. I want to do some work. I believe God is raising up a new student volunteer movement right now. It's happening all across the earth. And I am fully convinced that there are thousands of individuals from this next generation who are going to participate in this movement. Many in their 30s will go, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. I believe many will continue to go. But I believe that the primary draw for this movement is going to be out of the next generation's youth. I believe that there are many that are in Gen Z right now, or Gen Alpha, that's 27 down to 2. I believe that there are many in Gen Z and many in Gen Alpha who have a missionary calling on their life. They have been marked by heaven to go to the nations and to preach the gospel. Some of them are aware of that calling. Some of them are unaware that they have that calling. It's like a little dormant seed in there that's waiting to be awakened. And I believe that we're in an hour that there are going to be preachers like those early student volunteers who will begin to ride the circuits of America and the nations of the earth and call people to missions. And they're going to boldly say, go. And they're also going to boldly say, will you come? Come with us. I believe that this is not just going to happen in other churches, but it's going to happen in our church. I want to say it again, that we are a missions church. For there is no church that's not a mission church. If it's a real church that's following the real Jesus, then it's a missions church. This is going to happen in our generation, whether we partner with it or not. But here's what I want to say, or here's the question that I want to ask. What is the role that our church is going to play in this movement? And I think that there's an option that we have, that we can either stand on the sidelines and watch the parade of history pass us by, or we can rise and lay hold of our future and our destiny. That we can offer our sons and daughters, not all of them, many will be called to stay. But I want to say it again, many will be called to go. What role are we going to play in this movement? What role are we going to play in this final push of the Great Commission? What is our part? Can you guys stand up with me? It's the final few words that I want to give us this morning. We're a mission church. We're a sending church. I believe that we are going to lay hold of this calling and that we're not going to stand on the sidelines. And I want to talk to us a little bit about what's happening next door. If you park today, You stared at a half-completed building. And we've said this multiple times about our building project, but I want to say it again loud and clear. We are not expanding our building to expand our image. We are not expanding our building to expand our ego. We are not expanding our building to expand our name or our brand or our thing. That's not who we are and that's not what we're about. If you know anything about this family, you know that we have no interest in that. We don't even take attendance on Sunday morning. We don't even know how many of you show up. We don't have metrics. You want to know why? Because we're not a business. We're not trying to grow the company. We're not trying to grow the brand. We're not trying to market with slicker retail. That's not who we are. We're the church. We are the local church, and the local church is God's strategy to change the world. The local church has always been God's first pick to change the world. And he is going to use this house, this church, this family right here in Little Tip City, Ohio to do things that will shape the future and destiny of this planet. I believe that. That there are going to be people who come out of this house who are going to be influencers in the future of the kingdom of God. And he's causing us to believe for such things. Not to just come in Sunday after Sunday and clap our hands and then go get some lunch afterwards. I love lunch afterwards. But to believe God that people could rise from this house that would change the world. That planet shakers would come out of our homes. The Lord is expanding our building because he is expanding our mission. This is what I want you to hear. The Lord is expanding our building because he is expanding our mission. I had a vision not long ago when we were on our leaders' retreat. It was one of the strongest visions I've had in the past 5 years. And I saw the building project happening. And I saw it coming to completion. And the moment that the building project was completed, I saw funnels. They were like underground tunnels that began to explode out from Tip City, and they began to go out to the nations. And there were people that would come through these doors, and they would come into this house, and they would worship, and they would grow. But then you know what they did? They would go. And there was like a funnel that was coming out of this house. And just to confirm it, on Friday, I'm in here, and I'm trying to walk out. I've got my backpack on. I'm getting all the signals that I don't want anything else to happen. And Emily says, "Corey, come over here. I want some people to pray for you." The intercessors. And in my head, I'm thinking, "Oh, no. I've got places to be. Emily, come on, man." And there's two intercessors who are in here. It's like, I don't know how long it's going to last, you know? Just being real. And I come over, and I open my heart to the Lord. And I just pause. I put my hands out. I said, "Lord, I actually really want you to speak to me through these intercessors. I do have time. I do. Speak to me." Man, and these women start to pray over me, and one of them, she begins to say, "I see a funnel over your head." She's like, "But the funnel isn't taking things from heaven and sending it down to you. It's a flipped upside down funnel that's sending out. Maybe the Lord's going to give us a flipped upside down funnel. Maybe he's going to take some of you and snatch you and chuck you out to the nations." I just dare to believe that it could happen. There are funnels from our church that are going to go to the nations, many more nations that we're currently involved in. I thank God for Mexico. I thank God for St. Lucia. I thank God for the work that we've done in every location that we're currently partnered in. But I tell you, there's more. The Lord has more nations for us. He does. He has more nations for us. And I'm going to end here. You don't have to turn there because time's getting a little short, but I want to finish here. I feel like one of the things I hear the Lord speaking over our community, I've heard it resounding for a couple weeks now. When I've waited on the Lord and I'm in prayer, I just hear this phrase, "Antioch again. Antioch again." And I've asked the Lord, "What do you mean by that phrase?" And he took me to Acts 13, to the great church in Antioch, where it says that there were prophets and teachers, including Barnabas and who would become the Apostle Paul. It says they were ministering to the Lord with worship and fasting. And the Lord broke in and he said, "Set apart for me, Paul, Silas, for the work that I have for them." Antioch again. The local church is the birthplace of great missionaries. It's right here in humble little sanctuaries all over the world, that these gospel labors are formed and fashioned and then sent and supported. And I believe what the Lord is saying is that he's going to do Antioch again, that we are going to be in Antioch, that as we welcome prophets and teachers into our midst, and as we give ourselves to worship and prayer and fasting, and as we minister to the Lord as our first priority, then this miracle is going to happen time and time again. Set apart for me this one for the work that I've prepared for them to do. Set apart for me that one for the work that I've prepared them to do. And there are going to be certain ones that are going to get their callings hijacked in this place. That they're going to think they're going one way, and all of a sudden, they're going to have a calling that sends them in a completely different direction. And that miracle is supposed to be happening in the local church. It's the model of Antioch, and the Lord's going to make us Antioch again. I would like you to put your hands in front of you. And elders, if you would do me a favor, if you're an elder in our church, I would like you to come forward to the front, please. If you're an elder, one of our pastors on our elder team, I'd invite you. Actually, Mike, can I just have you go down, please? Thank you. Ty, can you join them? If you're a spouse of an elder, I would love to have you participate as well, if you're willing. I believe that the Lord wants to mark certain individuals today to be missionaries. You can go, if you have it, you can go to the final slide. As these wild student volunteers were riding around America and preaching about missions like I'm doing today, they would put this pledge before the people. And I've changed the language a little bit to make it slightly more modern. But the pledge went something like this: I am willing and desirous, God permitting, to be a missionary in the unreached nations. I am willing and desirous, God permitting, to be a missionary in the unreached nations, to preach the gospel, to expand the kingdom, and I believe one day to sing back the king. I'd like you to close your eyes in this place. I believe that some of you today, the Lord is marking you, that there's a missionary marking that's happening in this room. I don't know if it's for one person. I don't know if it's for 10 people. I don't know if it's for 100 people. If 100 people leave, we'll need to evangelize really quickly so that we can fill back in their spots, keep paying the mortgage. Wouldn't that be a great problem to have? I don't know if it's for one. I don't know if it's for 10. I don't know if it's for 100. But I believe that in this house, there are missionaries. I believe that in this house there are missionaries, and that the Lord wants to do Antioch again, and he wants to mark some of you. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand before the Lord, and I want you to ask him this question. Lord, are you calling me to spend a season of my life as a missionary? I don't know how long that season is. It might be a few years. It might be a few decades. It might be a lifetime. But Lord, are you calling me to spend a season of my life as a missionary? Lord, are you calling me to spend a season of my life as a missionary? Lord, are you calling me to spend a season of my life in the nation? Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come right now and you begin to mark the individuals who are supposed to serve as missionaries. I know it's not everyone, but I know there's a handful. Holy Spirit, do your work right now. Mark them. Let them feel your presence right now in a strong way. Let them feel your power like a fire descend on them right now. Those ones that you're marking for the nations, let them feel it, God. I'm asking for a commissioning moment for them, like Moses before the burning bush. Fire. Increase your presence upon them right now. Increase the manifestation of your power upon them right now. Let their hearts begin to burn for the nations. If that's you, I would like you to come forward. You want to spend a season of your life as a missionary? I would ask you to come down to one of our elders. Some of you, I don't know that it will be many, but if you have a missionary calling on your life, and you know that you do, I want you to come forward, and I want you to find one of our elders. Elders, I'd like you. We have oil that's right here. I would like you to mark these ones with oil.
I just feel from the Lord this morning that there's a grace for parents in the room. I just feel like my heart is like racing right now. I've watched my own parents and Corey's parents go through the process of laying their child on the altar to say yes to the nations. And I know it can be the hardest thing you could ever do in your life. I've not come across that yet. I probably will in the future. But I just feel this invitation of the Lord for parents, that your children are your costly oil. And the Lord might ask you to lay it down at his feet and to have your grandkids across the world, or to give up that close, tight-knit relationship of being in the same house. So I just want to pray that over you. You don't have to raise your hands or anything, but I just feel like I want to pray grace over parents, whether that's when your kids get older or they're already older. So Holy Spirit, I just release the grace this morning over parents of maybe missionaries in this room that might have to go through that process of laying down their most precious prize, their costly oil, at your feet, Lord. And I ask for so much grace, Lord, that in the midst of it, that they would see your worth, Lord, that they would come behind their children saying yes to one of the hardest things they've ever done in their life, that they would be supporters, that they would come around them and champion them, Lord, even in the heartbreak of saying yes. Lord, I ask for that grace to be released in the name of Jesus.
There's space down here. There are others in the room who are feeling a tug from the Holy Spirit. You want to give a season of your life to missions. A season of your life to missions. I'd like you to come down. Steve is available down here. Greg is available. I'm just going to leave the altar open, and there's some who are going to continue coming as the Lord works. But I'm going to ask the band to play, and we're going to close out as a community. Again, the altar's open. Just keep flowing. Just keep coming. If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging, just come. But we're going to sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus," together. And this is our church-wide declaration that whether you spend a season in the nations or whether you live out the gospel right here at home, that we are going to give our lives for Jesus and we're going to follow him.
Follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning
back. The cross
back.
Before me, the world behind me.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me. cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
Though none go with me, still I will follow.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
So, Lord, right now, as we close this service, Father, I'm asking that you would convince us of the priority of the Great Commission, that every single one of us is called to be wholeheartedly engaged with making disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey you and walk with you and love you all the days of their lives. But I'm asking that you'd make us a missions church, a sending church, a giving church, a going church, God. And we're asking that you would expand our mission even as you expand our building. Father, that you'd give us new nations, that you'd give us new partners, that you'd give us new projects, that you'd give us new assignments, that you'd release from heaven the next phase of this ministry, both locally and globally. Lord, I'm asking that you would expand our impact a hundredfold, both locally and globally, Lord. What we're doing in the schools, God, expand it. What we're doing in our city, God, expand it. What we're doing in Kindness to Go, God, expand it. But then I'm asking that it would start to reach out to the nations, that many would be sent from this house, that many missionaries would be sent forth from this altar, just like you did in Antioch of old. Church, we love you, we bless you today, and we commission you to go in the name of Jesus. Our altars are open. If you need prayer for anything, even if it's not related to the message, we encourage you to come forward. Our elders are waiting. We love you guys. Have a great day.